Welcome, hardworking folks, to Long Live the Trades, where the grit, sweat, and pride of Blue Collar Life take center stage. Join us as we celebrate the unsung heroes, the welders, electricians, plumbers, and more, whose hands build the backbone of our world. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the tales of tradesmen and women, sharing their trials, triumphs, and the unwavering spirit that defines the trades. So grab your toolbox, kick back in your work boots, and tune in to a podcast that honors the heartbeat of the blue-collar community. Long live the trades.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the most recent episode of Long Live the Trades. I'm your host, David Johnson, and I am joined today by someone that you probably have a pretty good idea of who this guy is, but Bryn Otto from Bryn Welds on social media, on several different platforms. Bryn, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce who you are to everyone.
Yeah, my name is Bryn Otto, Bryn Welds. I'm 19 years old. I'm a welder. I've been welding for about 5 years, maybe started in high school. Picked up a job when I was 16 through a registered apprenticeship at the local high school. The local high school is actually kind of a trade high school. So they set us up with apprenticeship jobs and the chosen pathway, career pathway that we want to take, anything from aviation to aviation mechanics to welding.
Man, that's terrific. If I'm not mistaken, you're in Nebraska, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what part of the state? I'm all the way down in Texas, so everything above Dallas is a northerner to me. So
go ahead. We're south central, pretty maybe 2 hours away from Kansas, 2 hours north of Kansas, and 2 hours west of Omaha, if you know where Omaha is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you're still in the big part of the Corn Belt going through all the farmland and everything out there.
Yeah. That's a lot of our industry here, actually, in the metal manufacturing is farming related.
Yep. So whenever I was in school years ago, I went to Sam Houston State down in Huntsville, Texas, which is pretty close to the Houston area, kind of between Houston and Dallas. And I was in the ag program there myself. Whenever I was going to school, I was sure that I was going to be an ag teacher. And then I was in school for all of 3 weeks and found out what the starting pay was for a teacher and then what the end pay was. I thought, man, I need to find another path because I just didn't know if I could make it through a full career with that. And I had some other aspirations. So I shifted gears pretty quick.
Yeah. I didn't plan on going to college myself, but I would like, maybe as a retirement job, I would consider doing being a welding instructor, but I didn't plan on going to college either. But since it was set up for me and it was already paid for through the trade high school, I'm going to call it a trade high school. It's called the academies though. They offered to pay for all the welding students that transferred in there. And we only had 1 year left on the degree because they were dual credit classes. So I ended up getting an associate's degree when I didn't plan on it at all.
Man, that's great. Had you started with some other type of kind of vocational blue collar skills prior to that program that kind of led you into some interest in that high school? Or what were you doing before you started that program?
I was actually the complete opposite. I was doing nothing. I was really a bum is what I would call it now. But so my dad,
most teenagers would fit that same category.
Yeah, but I was in the worst of the worst with him. So, but my dad was a welder when he started. When he was 16, he started for a company here in Grand Island, Nebraska, but they've got locations all over the world, Chief Industries. And so when he was 16, he started welding. And when I was 14, I started, but 16, I started at the same job that he did. And he worked his way up to plant manager and then stepped down to sales once we became kids, or once we were born, me and my brothers, and to kind of get a little more home time. And so he still works there about 30 some years. And I left there. I got a better job. I really had nothing going for myself. That's why I'm so grateful that I found welding in the skilled trades and kind of took off.
Man, that's a great story. You know, I was one of those teenage boys myself, going through school, trying to find what my path was going to be. where my interest was, kind of the life experiences that I had. I grew up in rural Texas, so my grandfather was a welder at a shipyard, shade tree mechanic, you know, had a farm plot where grew some vegetables and, you know, things around that we enjoyed for part of the family, but nothing big production size that, you know, that we were able to really call it farming or anything. But all those things, you try to look for that direction whenever you're finding your way through at 14, 15, 16 years old. Man, if it wasn't for those teachers taking time and those parents that try to instill those values and principles in you of working hard, earning what you get, you know, looking for a better opportunity. And just looking back, you know, to whenever I was, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, coming through and trying to find out what my path was going to look like, I was very fortunate to have family members, grandfather, father, and then teachers at school that helped me to figure out how to apply those, you know, values and principles and life lessons that you learn along the way to, you know, becoming a man, how you're going to go about providing for yourself and family. And when you have the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of those you know, men that come before you, and, you know, a lot of times the hardworking women that have such influence on their household as well. And, you know, many single moms out there raising kids come up and needing to prepare them just the same. You know, those people that really take time to share those skills to get you off on the right start, you know, they play such an important part at a critical point in your life. Did you have a favorite teacher for the program while you were there? Or
yeah, most definitely. Even when I first got into the program, I wasn't fully in love with it. And so I was still doing the same stupid stuff that I was doing before, but I kind of had a mentor that really guided me the whole way, and I still pretty close to him. His name's Brandon Pearsall. He was in the Army career in the Army, and he welded, but kind of like a mechanic and tank and for tanks and Humvees and all that cool stuff. And he really took me and a couple others that weren't doing so good in the outside life, and took us under his wing and showed us everything. And we had another a fellow student that was also career but in the Navy, and he kind of took us under his wing as well. And I was just with him at that closing. He was there to show him the house, and his name's Stephen Floyd. And so, you know, I think that I put a lot of my success that I have had so far, I give them a lot of thanks to it, because they kind of showed me what hard work is like and what it will get you.
Man, that's terrific. What an opportunity for someone who has the chance to teach young men and women coming up and to still have that relationship with you, that you want to share the purchase of your, I assume this is your first home that you purchased.
Yeah.
Yet? Yeah. Congratulations. Look, man, you're 19 years old. You just bought your first house. You have a great career going. This is the American dream. This is what everybody else talks about, wants. Few people are willing to do it. Few are not, but you're the dude that's out there making it happen. How does that shape up for you? How long did you work to get to this point where you can actually afford to buy your own house now? And tell us what it was like going through that experience for the first time.
I'm also very fortunate that my mom's a loan officer and one of the top in Nebraska. So a lot of the realtors, when you go and tour a house, you know, a realtor's kind of like a salesman. They're going to hype everything up. But when we go around, nobody wants to screw over. None of the realtors want to screw over the relationship they have with my mom. So they'll tell us all the foundation's bad. We're not even going to look at that one. So I got really lucky and I got a steal of a deal. My grandpa said I made out like a bandit. And real estate is tough. But growing up in with my mom around me, I kind of learned a lot from a young age about it, just picking it up over. Yeah, I've worked at it for a while for a good down payment and then money for repairs, which what I wanted to do and to meet the FHA requirements. And so, yeah, now I'm not even going to move in until I renovate. So I'm going to renovate it. Then I'll move in, put another bedroom in when I'm ready to sell. So that when I'm ready to sell, the value will be however much higher. I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's got a shop and a garage, so I'm looking forward to that. And I never wanted to rent. I couldn't – if I had to rent, I don't know. I just couldn't do that, having somebody owning where I stay at. If that's not family, it just doesn't sound right to me. So I kind of just saved up until – and paid off, bought a new truck and paid it off so that I would only have one source of debt, because I don't want to be in debt long, you know. So I paid off the truck and then bought the house. Otherwise, I probably could have done it sooner, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So this is going to be real important. We just met, but I got to give you some brotherly advice if it's called for. I don't know your situation right now, but let us know. Are you married? Are you single? Are you dating? Are you engaged? Where do you fall in that stage of life right now?
So I've been dating the same woman since I was 10 and she was 11.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So it just might last if y'all been able to keep it going for almost a decade now.
Yeah. since we were so young, I got really lucky because in my generation, good women are hard to find. So.
Oh, man, they're out there. They are. You just got to look for them in the right places.
Yeah, but
it sounds like you found one. If you're putting up with one another, you know, for this long now, you guys probably have a great relationship going there. How excited is she for you? Is this the purchase for yourself, or is she going to be coming to join you at the new house?
She's not going to join us yet. She wants to wait until we're engaged. So that's what she said.
Smart woman.
Yeah, smart woman. So.
You want to take this moment and propose to her right now? We wouldn't mind sharing that moment if you want to call her in.
She's actually at the new house painting.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah.
Team player.
Yeah.
That's why I was going to ask, because, you know, you have your thoughts of renovation. You have those things that you want to do. If you put everything to your own taste and style and you have any intention of your woman coming to live with you at some point, she's going to want to change some things. So if you want to do it once and be, you know, done for a while, you better let her, you know, put her own personal touch on it.
Yeah, she's decided everything about the kitchen. I got a lot of work cut out, that's for sure.
That's awesome, man. Well, congratulations to both of y'all. Really happy. One of the big accomplishments of life is to be able to have a place to call your own, to do that together, and to have the opportunity to go in and remodel it now, to really make it your own. Man, you know, the world is your oyster. You know, it is a great place to be in. Imagine you're going to stay in Nebraska forever? Have you ever done any traveling work in the past, or is that home and that's where you're going to stay?
So, right after high school, I was ready to leave. She doesn't want to leave. I was ready to get out. So I took a weld test in Hutchinson, Kansas, which is about 5 hours away. And I was just going to visit on weekends, and I did get offered the job, but I didn't take it. And I'm glad. It kind of made me realize I couldn't move this far away, because all my family's here, born and raised, family, friends, and her family and her friends. So, and at the time, it was mainly because of my job. I was tired of working on agricultural equipment, because it's more quantity and less quality of welds. But I got very lucky at this company that I'm at now, Dramco Tool. We do some very precise stuff, and they're all about quality.
What are you guys building there?
I can't talk about too much. We do, on the tool side, we do custom tooling and mold making, mold building. And then on the fabrication, we do pretty much everything custom and quality. We do a little bit of production, but it's not mass production, and it's still very quality oriented. We'll do all kinds of tanks and cells and to hold various liquids. I'll just say that. And then we're actually doing a statue right now for our local VA. It's going to be it's a huge globe. It's going to be an Iraq War Memorial. So we're doing that out of stainless steel. It's 9 foot tall. And then the stand is another 6 foot that it's going on. And it's got this banner with all the armed forces on it. And it'll be sweet.
Oh, yeah. That sounds terrific.
Yeah.
A lot of stainless. That thing's going to be shining out with a light on it at night. And you'll be able to see it from miles away, I'm sure.
Yeah, they already got the light up there. And the concrete's poured. I can't wait. This is a cool project, you know. And someday, once I have kids, I'll be able to drive by and be like, hey, yeah, I did that, you know?
Hey, that's the proud point of life for every, you know, dad out there, any, you know, man in construction going by and pointing out all the things entailed that you built.
Yeah.
You talk about that all the time. That's a major point of pride.
Yeah. But other than that, I was ready to leave. I've been very fortunate to do a lot of traveling, welding related, at trade shows. Fabtech is the biggest metal fabrication convention in the world. And so I went to Atlanta, Chicago for that. Next year is Orlando. I went to Texas and welded underwater when I was 16 in Houston. And I missed the first day of senior year, the first 2 days, because there was a storm. And our flight at our local airport, we only fly into to Dallas. So I had to go Houston to Dallas, but that's where the storm was. So we had to wait, and I slept in the Dallas airport and then showed up and went to school once I got home. So a lot of traveling, and it kind of made me realize as well that I like traveling, but I couldn't live there. I like visiting, and I was in Ireland for 3 weeks, and that was too long. I can't be away from home that long.
Man. Were you doing welding and work-related stuff in Ireland also?
So we actually went for a Husker football game.
Oh, okay.
They played Northwestern there, and we lost, which was very unfortunate. But I kind of made it work-related and shot a bunch of videos and stuff and reached out to some other people that post videos in Ireland. And so, yeah, that was pretty good.
Heck, yeah. Man, there's all type of opportunities out there for anyone that wants to see the world. There's companies that need people that are willing to go, right? And sometimes whenever you're younger and earlier in career, you don't have some of the same commitments at home that, you know, maybe a man with, you know, two or three kids at home and a wife that wants him there every night. You have the opportunity to go hit the road. Maybe it's you and the lady going together, and you have an opportunity to bring her along for the ride and go see things that you only have an opportunity to see on TV or in magazines, and, you know, earn some good money while you're doing it. So congratulations for stepping out and trying some new things like that whenever you had the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, traveling's great. Definitely seeing the world from other perspectives and other cultures and whatnot. And sometimes I did wish I got a traveling job just so I could see the world. But on a lot of those traveling jobs, like the pipeline, I couldn't do that. And you're working so much, you might not be able to see much of the world of your surroundings. But big props to the guys that do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a different type. So where I live down in Texas, I'm not too far from Houston. I'm on the I-10 corridor between where Texas and Louisiana meet up. So if you think about that whole Gulf Coast stretch, a lot of stuff down here is refinery, petrochemical plant, you know, industrial world like that. And man, there are crews of guys that do nothing but go project to project for those locations as they're doing what they call turnaround. So it'll be a shutdown and, you know, restart. But they'll be doing these big maintenance projects that come up, say, every 3 years or 5 years, like clockwork. We're talking about major maintenance, you know, tearing vessels out, putting vessels in, redoing the refractory or the catalyst or all these things that go in. And these guys are working typically 7/12s, you know, and as soon as that job's over, they might have a week off while they're moving their camper to the next city, and they're off and they're going on the next one. So there's some real road warriors out there. You know, they get a lot of hours, a lot of time, but they're putting in some work to make those things happen.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of pipeliners and shutdown welders and chasers that also post videos, and I've gotten to talk to some of them, and that's another thing that made me realize that that line of the industry is not for me.
There's room for everybody, right?
Yeah, it takes some rough skin to be able to do that and stay away from family for that long, but yeah. Pays good though.
That's right. Hey, so you mentioned Fabtech. I know there's a couple of contests that they always do around that event also. A couple, you know, fabricator contests where they put in to see who can kind of build some things and new equipment that's coming on the market and the opportunity to test some of those things out. What was the highlight of Fabtech for you?
I would say, so one of the teams that I'm on is called, or one of the companies that I'm sponsored by is called Edge Welding Cups. They make Pyrex and glass welding cups and quartz welding cups. And, they have their other sponsors, they call the Edge Army. So everybody, almost everybody in the Army gets to go to FabTech, and the nights after the show's cool. The show's amazing. But once you're with everybody that like-minded individuals in that group, and after the show, it's just fun, you know. Get out in Chicago. We tried some great food, Navy Pier speedboat tour on the, I don't know what Great Lake that is. I think it's Michigan. I think it's Lake Michigan.
So. Yep.
Yeah, and that's fun. It's just a good environment full of like-minded individuals having fun, and yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think it's going to be in a different city this next year in 24, right?
Yeah, Orlando.
Yeah, that's a big convention capital down there. I've been to several trade shows in that Orange County Convention Center before, and they know how to do it right.
Yeah, McCormick Place in Chicago, that was huge. I've never been to Florida though, so I'm looking forward to that.
Heck yeah. Yeah, a lot of people down there in the trades also, you know, just for supporting all the industry. One, you've got so many people that have moved to Florida in the last decade, but then you have all the tourism coming in, right? So all the resorts and you know, different types of attractions that are bringing people in. It's an economy that's really hustling and bustling down there. So as long as you can deal with a little bit of heat and humidity, hurricanes and mosquitoes, you don't have anything else to worry about.
Yeah, hurricanes, totally not that big of a deal. Well, you got those coming your way, probably.
We do, man. And, you know, I'm still kind of envious of the people in Florida from time to time, because they'll have these storms come in, this major catastrophe, and next thing you know, they're just cleaning the streets and back to it. You know, it's just another one and ready to go. And I think a lot of the Gulf Coast has become more resilient as time, you know, has gone by, but hey, those storms are pretty devastating when they come through. You know who the favorite person is after the hurricane?
Who's that?
That's the lineman that come through to get your shit back up and working.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, where we are, we have a whole lot of pine trees and everything around, and, you know, a lot of just these rural areas with a lot of forestry. And those storms come through and the ground is wet and the winds are strong. And, you know, you could be without power for weeks at a time if you're not careful. I think the hurricanes did more to sell these whole home generators than anybody could have imagined in the past.
Yeah, when I was in Atlanta last year for FabTech, there was a hurricane going on in Florida. And my buddy, who I met in college here in Nebraska, he's from Ocala, Florida, which is just north of Orlando a little bit. And he drove up to pick me up from the airport and then go to the show with me. He owns a company called Southern Leatherworks. They do custom leather welding helmets. And so he drove from Florida from the hurricane to Atlanta to pick me up, and he had nothing on but swim trunks, no shoes, no socks, but he had an ankle holster on. And then when he drops me off, he's driving back, and he drives straight back into the hurricane. They're built different.
It's just another Friday for him.
Yeah.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, so let me ask you, man. So, you know, you're one of the younger guys that are in the trades these days. You seem to have a lot going for you, figured out. We get questions all the time from people that are looking at what their career path is going to look like, where they get started. Do you have any recommendations that you want to offer up to other people that might be 19, 20, 21 years old, trying to think about their next step?
I think one of the things that I really had no idea what I wanted to do in my next step. And one thing that helped me was those local connections that I built and my network of people that have been in the industry for so long. And, you know, maybe they're getting out of it now. So positions are opening up that you want to climb the ranks and get your foot in the door. Those local connections are more important than people think. And I think you often overlook the local industry that you have, and a lot of people want to hit the road straight out of high school. That was a common trend in my welding class, was everybody wanted to go pipeline and travel. And you just got to look around at your local surroundings before you decide on that and get tunnel vision on hitting the road. And a lot of people also don't think about what the startup cost is like of a rig welder or of a pipeliner. You've got, I don't know, a brand new truck and not a small one. You might need a dually if you want to go crazy. A new welding rig, all the tools. You need a camper. Well, you don't need a camper, but you'll want a nice camper if you don't want to stay in hotels. And yeah, I mean, the tools, the truck, the camper, and then no benefits. You're an independent contractor, so you're paying for your own benefits, right? Your own insurance, retirement plan, all that stuff. So there's a lot more than people straight out of high school are thinking.
Yep. So let me ask you this. You're now in the early stage of your career. You have your father to look to that's been in the industry for a number of years. Look, being in a blue-collar position, your health, your strength is a big part of the tool set that you have to be able to do your job. What do you have in your mind right now for things that you're doing to prepare yourself to stay healthy for that entire time period? You spend much time focusing on your, you know, physical activity. Are you doing any type of training? Are you doing any type of monitoring what you eat? You know, are you one of these guys that has 14 energy drinks in a day? Kind of a, how does that even play into your mind right now of what you're going to be feeling like when you're 40 compared to 20?
You know, not too much because I'm so young, you know, I don't think about it, but I don't drink caffeine. I'll have a coffee every once in a while, but really not often, maybe a couple times a month. I don't like caffeine. I love my sleep. I feel like if you're going to sleep only 3 or 4 hours and it's not good sleep, then you're not going to be even 80% of what you could be efficiency. So, I'm in bed by 8 p.m. and I wake up at, I don't know, 3:30, 3:40 in the morning.
Oh, man.
Go to work. Yeah, it's by choice.
Yeah.
But this new company that I work at, they take care of us real well. So a lot of the plants around here, like manufacturing plants and mass production factories, don't have air filtration systems. And we got what's called an air scrubber. But if you don't have an exhaust fan when you're welding, man, you're going to get home and you're going to blow out nothing but blood and black boogers. And it's nasty. So your lungs is a big one. And that's one thing I've noticed for sure since switching jobs, because I was at the other one for 2.5 years. And now I've been here for a couple months now. So your lungs is a big one. Eye care, definitely got to make sure you got good PPE.
Who makes those favorite glasses that you like to wear now? You have a favorite brand?
Safety glasses?
Yeah.
No, I just wear prescription safety glasses from a local dealer.
Gotcha. Yeah. Man, whenever I first started out, safety glasses looked like these big nerd, you know, rec specs coming around and that fog up on you and everything else. But there's so many different manufacturers out there now that really put some cool design to everything. You know, you can get the prescription lenses in them if you want to, but man, some of these guys have glasses, you know, that rival some of the top hunting and fishing outdoor brand, you know, style designs out there that really anybody choosing not to wear them, you know, making the conscious decision, they just don't want to put them on versus, you know, not being able to find something that kind of fits them and their style and, you know, maybe shape of their face.
Yeah, I like the tinted Milwaukee ones if I'm not wearing prescription ones. But, yeah, prescription's just what I've been running. If I'm out shooting, I wear prescription as well, but I wear big old sunglasses over my regular glasses. I can't remember who makes them. Man, they're nice though. I don't remember. But it's one of those blue collar companies, and they make safety glasses as well. And I figured out they had sunglasses, and I got them.
Nice, nice. What about the boots that you wear?
Boots. I used to wear Timberland Pros, but this actually happened recently. So I got real fat feet, and I took it off, and it some stitching broke or ripped on the inside, and then it suctioned to my foot, and I literally had to cut the boot off because it was suctioned on my foot. Right now I went back to my Ariat boots. But I did like those Timberland Pros. They were comfortable. But I don't think I'll go back because it was so annoying having to cut them off.
That sounds like the definition of form fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just right.
Yeah. Actually, I got a pair of Brunts too. Brunt workwear.
Oh, yeah, man. I've heard really good things about those.
Yeah, I got the Marantau. They're pretty good. I think maybe they're a little overhyped just because of how good their marketing is. You know, they're very active on social media.
Yeah.
But I do like them.
Nice. Yeah, you know, I think that's another one of those brands where they're really kind of focused on design and style. They kind of found a market for them, right? You're going to have some people that probably fits them, have another, you know, guy down the street. They may want the next brand or, you know, whatever comes through, but there's no shortage of options these days. You know, I think back to when my grandfather was out working, it was probably Red Wing or nothing. And then, you know, in the 90s, it all seemed like Wolverine was, you know, hot shit for a while. But you look at these days and the companies that are available to reach an audience through social media and, you know, pretty effective marketing efforts, you can probably find just about anything out there that kind of fits your style.
Right.
Well, man, what does the future look like for you? Do you have any plans for the next 5 to 10 years, or are you thinking about any of those things today?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Hopefully we can get this house renovated pretty fast. I'd like to move in there and propose within the next 5 years. I'm not going to say an exact year, but I already know. And then kids. And I'd like to be an early dad, you know, maybe early 20s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are all the American dream. Those are the things that, you know, I think everybody out there wants, you know, no matter what career path they take, whatever, you know, choices they make to follow, you know, where their heart's taking them. Those are some really good goals and objectives to have in front of you. So good luck with that search. And, you know, hopefully you'll have the opportunity to start filling that house with some little welder helpers running around before too long.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, man, look, I really appreciate the time coming on today. You've been a great guest. Wonderful to visit with you. I know you have several pages out there. I want to give you a chance to tell everyone where to find you on social media. And if you want to give any shout outs to anyone, please take the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, Bryn Welds, BrynWelds on everything, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all of it, anything and everything. If you're looking for a welder, you can hit me up, and I'll sell you an Everlast welder and get you an upgraded TIG torch and foot pedal package. That's another one of my sponsors. Good hobbyist, budget-friendly machines or production size if that's what you're looking for. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Bryn, thank you so much. Want to thank our audience for sticking with us today. I encourage everyone to like, share, and subscribe to the episode if you like what you're hearing here. If you guys want an opportunity to connect with Bryn, please reach out to him direct. You can reach out to our team at Boom Nation at boomnation.com, on the Boom Nation app. You can find us on our platforms from Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and we'll continue to try to, you know, find good opportunities to bring you guests like Bryn and keep focused on the skilled workers that are making this stuff happen in America today. So thank you, Bryn. Hope you have a good afternoon, brother.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on another rugged journey through the blue collar world on Long Live the Trades. Remember, it's the sweat, the grit, and the indomitable spirit that keeps our trades alive. Until next time, keep those boots on the ground, hands in the dirt, and long live the trades.